It's time to talk sports. We welcome to the program Michael Coe. Michael, how's it going?
It's going well, Andy. It was a very busy weekend here in Chapel Hill and in the Triangle.
It was a busy weekend, and sometimes things just feel like they're right in the universe, even if it's just for a short amount of time. But Saturday night was one of those times.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a terrific win for Carolina. Came out with a ton of energy. Obviously got an incredible performance from Cormac Ryan and led wire to wire against Duke and Cameron Indoor Stadium, which not a lot of teams can say they have done. And Carolina, yeah, just a huge win for them and getting them closer to a potential number one seed in the NCAA tournament, which would be huge for them.
Yeah, I didn't really process that. It was a game where they were really in control the whole time, but it kind of felt like it was closer than it was for a lot of that time. But I didn't really process that, like, hey, we just did this in Cameron. Like, that just happened on the road.
Yeah.
That took me, like, it was the next morning before that kind of sunk in entirely.
Yeah, I think that's probably because they got out to a double-digit lead so early. And they led by 15. Then, of course, Duke closed because they're a good team. And so it sort of hovered around that 5-7 range. And you're thinking, well, but they were up 15. So you don't really process, like you said, that they actually did lead wire to wire. And Duke, I believe the stat was Duke led for 16 seconds or so out of 40 minutes in the two, or 80 minutes in the two regular season meetings between Carolina and Duke, and which is just pretty incredible when you think about how good that team is and sort of some of the struggles that Carolina has had this season. But when it comes to the Duke game, they are pretty darn good.
I mean, they've sort of dominated them in the two games.
Yeah.
It wasn't like complete blowouts, but they were in control the whole time.
Yeah, and neither of them were, you know, winning by 15 or 18. They were, you know, they were both by single digits, but they were both, when you look at it just from a pure statistical standpoint, like you said, just domination and pretty, in the end, comfortable, but certainly uncomfortable while it was happening.
It's always hard to feel comfortable with this team when you're seeing RJ Davis being held below 10 points.
Yeah, and Armando.
And Armando. I mean, there comes a point, you know, halfway through the second where you're like, how is this? I mean, you know it's because Cormac Ryan keeps hitting threes, but it still seems very unlikely to see those two held more or less in check and still be controlling the game the way they did.
Yeah, and that was the theme in the first game as well. Armando obviously had a big game, but RJ was held in check, and it was Harrison Ingram who came through with a 20-point game. So that's really been Duke, I think, was just so focused on not letting RJ Davis beat them. They focused so much defensive attention on him that left a smaller defender on Cormac Ryan, and he was able to get some really clean looks for three, and he's got that quick release. I think Jay Billis who said he's got such a quick release that hardly any of his shots were even challenged. And yeah, he performed at an outstanding level.
And they've got to be playing with a lot of confidence now. How much do you think the conference tournament is going to, I mean, and we can play the game of like trying to get the number one seed, but just in terms of like where this team is in preparation for the NCAA tournament, like how big of a deal do you think this the ACC tournament would be to this team?
Yeah, I mean, you think about some of the great Carolina teams that they have had since 2016, the last time they had they won the ACC tournament. None of those teams won that event. The 2017 team lost in the semifinals. The 2019 team lost in the semifinals. The 22 team lost in the semifinals. So I think it would mean a lot. It's something that this group of seniors, RJ Davis, Armando Bacot, certainly it's something that they have never done. And those guys have done a lot in Chapel Hill. They've been to a Final Four and they've won an ACC regular season championship now, but that's something that they haven't done. Armando and RJ haven't even been to an ACC championship game. So I do think that would mean a lot. Hubert Davis, he obviously played in an era when the ACC tournament meant a lot more than it does now. And he played in some real battles in the ACC tournament, particularly against Duke, who Carolina could, of course, see in the championship if they make it that far. So, yeah, I do think they will come out with an intention to win the whole thing. I think you could look back at some of the Coach Williams years. Some people thought that he may not have taken the ACC tournament as seriously as some other coaches just because his team was so good and they didn't really need that championship. I think Carolina does have something to play for, as you said, the number one seed. So I think certainly they'll come out with some energy and they'll be excited to see how they look.
I feel like this is one of, and maybe it's my background as an Indiana fan from coming from the Big Ten, which was the last conference to adopt the tournament format. But it's like one of the fun nuances of this time of year, of that debate of like, do you really want to win your conference tournament and go through that grind right before the NCAA tournament? Or is it better to kind of have a little bit of a sting of a loss and then the extra prep time as you wait for the tournament? I always am kind of amused by the two sides of that. And obviously most athletes will tell you that you never want to lose a game.
So. Yeah. And the dangerous thing is that if you adopt that mindset, you might run into a team that absolutely has to have this game, like Pitt or Wake Forest, which Carolina could play in the second round. Those two teams are both firmly on the bubble, and they would love to get a quad one win over an NCAA tournament lock in Carolina in the ACC semifinals, get one step closer to an auto bid in the ACC championship. So I think Hubert Davis is going to warn his team about that, and I think they'll be ready to go. And I think they'll be ready to go.
Just love this time of year with all those storylines that start to emerge as teams are jockeying for position and trying to get into the tournament. What else is on your mind in the world of sports? I saw baseball had a pretty big weekend.
Yeah, great weekend for the Diamond Heels. They welcome in Pitt to Bosheimer Stadium. Pitt's a good ball club, and they sweep them. Carolina does. Three straight games, including a walk-off on Sunday. Those are three competitive games, by the way. 2-1, 7-4, and then obviously the 10-inning walk-off on Sunday. Carolina's now won 17 straight games at home, Andy, which is pretty impressive. That's a streak that dates back to last year. They've won 9 straight overall. They're 14-2, obviously 3-0 in ACC play. And they've got another big week coming up. They've got a short two-game series in the midweek against the Fighting Aaron Kecks from Rutgers.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then they have their first ACC road series of the season where they visit Miami. It's a long road trip, going to be a difficult place to play for Carolina. But they're hot, and their bats have been proving that they still can play. Casey Cook batting over 400. Vance Honeycutt, obviously we know what he can do. So they've got some really good players, and they're off to an excellent start.
They seem to be winning close games against good teams, even prior to this Pitt series, so that always bodes well too.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ACC is a super competitive league in baseball. It's quite firmly the second best league in Division I baseball behind the SEC, which is a madhouse, honestly. But the ACC has some good ball clubs, particularly the state of North Carolina. Wake Forest and Duke are both in the top 10. NC State's a good team. ECU's a good team. Campbell, Carolina has already seen both Campbell and ECU. So yeah, it's just it's a great time to be following college baseball in North Carolina because there's so many good teams. Carolina's among them.
It's the voice of Michael Coe. You can read his work at chapelboro.com. Anything else on your mind before we wrap up?
Yeah, I would just give a shout out to softball, the other team that plays on the diamond here in Chapel Hill. They're 19-4 on the season. They just won their first ACC series of the season. Took 2 out of 3 from Virginia. And as I said, they're off to a really hot start. They've already stolen more bases this season, Andy, than they did all of last season. So new head coach Megan Smith-Lyon definitely instituting a new philosophy there. They've got some road games this week, actually. They play at Clemson, a 3-game series. That's going to be difficult over the weekend. But they're a fun team to watch, so I'd encourage anyone who wants to make a fun afternoon for themselves to go out to Anderson Field. They're really good.
Michael Coe, thanks for joining us.
Yep, thank you, Andy.